opportunity to hear from heaven tonight. We thank you for your holy written word. We thank you, Father God, that your word is eternal. It's life-changing. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and it joints the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. We thank you, Father God, for the entrance of your word will bring and produce light tonight and give us understanding in simplistic and clear terms and clear concepts. We thank you, Father God. We exercise our faith tonight for divine illumination, revelation, insights and understandings and concepts that we haven't had before up until this time. We thank you for the transformational power of your word. And we're here to learn and receive from your word in Jesus' name. And in all this, we give Jesus all the credit, all the honor, and all of the glory. We give it all to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And amen again. Praise God. Well, hello, hello. Hallelujah. We just had a powerful time in corporate praise and worship together. Praise God. Glory to God. And we're talking about praise and worship. We're talking about the purpose and power of praise and worship. And we want to welcome all of you, both in person and online, and all of our guests. Hallelujah. And you're not here by accident, so stay online with us. God's got a good, encouraging word for you. Tonight, we're going to talk about New Testament order of the worship. Now, again, we're talking about what are some of the key patterns and principles that we need to understand about the New Testament. It's a different order. It's really a higher order than the order in the Old Testament, but the higher order, we're going to see it unveiled to us tonight. So I want to introduce and enlighten those through the word by the direction of the Holy Spirit and anointing of the Holy Spirit, the New Testament order of worship. Our opening scripture is in 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, we said this many a times in the previous weeks in this series, that one of our responsibilities as born-again children of God, that we are to be and become thanksgivers and praisers. And so there are praises due to God daily, regularly. Now, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, "Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name." And so when we sacrifice praise, we're thanking God in everything. We're praising God at all times. And so you got to think about it. How many times, when it says sacrifice, that means you don't feel it, and you don't just try to fake it. You faith it, F-A-I-T-H. You do it by faith. You have a decision of quality to do it by faith. So some of the scriptural concepts and contexts of worship are found in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. We're going to read a few scriptures here. It says, "For thou shalt worship no other god for the Lord, whose name is Jealous. He is a jealous God." Now, you might think, wait a minute. Now, how does God get jealous? Well, in this verse, the Lord was sharing that he has legitimate jealousy if you give worship or honor and praise to someone else that is deserving to him. You can't worship your kids in lieu of God. You can't worship your career in lieu of God. You can't worship your friends in lieu of God. Amen. He said, "Thou shalt not worship any other god before," because you can make money a god. You can make any object of worship in your life like a god. And God says, "I'll get jealous." In other words, I'll have legitimate jealousy. He even capitalizes and says, "Jealous. I am jealous. My name is jealous. In other words, God is worthy of our worship. God is worthy of our praise. Amen. Our Father God is worthy. Amen. No one else is worthy like him in our Lord Jesus. All right. Psalms chapter 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down and let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. So sometimes worship is a holy moment where you're bowing down in reverential awe and honor towards our God. Psalms 96, verse 9. Psalms 96, verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So the beauty of holiness is a posture and a position that we use to worship God. Fear before him all the earth. Psalms 99, verse 5. Psalms 99, verse number 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. That's a good reason right there. Amen. Now, Webster's, I've got it, those of you that have an outline, and you can, if you're online, you're getting an outline from our system there to follow along with us, you can. Or once it's uploaded, there's a bigger outline you can go through. Worship, according to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, is defined as to respect, to honor, to treat with civil reverence, to honor with extravagant love, listen to this, and extreme submission. It means, number three, to perform acts of adoration, to perform religious service. All of these encompass a kind of holistic definition and a clear definition of worship. Amen. Amen. Now let's get into the types of New Testament worship, because that's where we're going to want you to get a fresh concept of. Now, we said last week that praise is seeking God, but worship is being found by him. Worship is important to God. Worship is important to God. In John chapter 4, verse 20 through 24, it says, our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you, Jesus, say that in Jerusalem, you Jews, excuse me, say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, at the time, it was that way. But the hour is coming, and now is, that the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Now, what's the subject here? Worship. Jesus is talking about worship. This woman came from Samaria. She was a Samaritan woman. And it got about the subject of worship. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, we'll read John chapter 9, verse 31, because those two verses together, we're going to learn some lessons here. John chapter 9, verse 31. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners. But if any is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears them. Amen. So from these verses, from the lips of our Lord Jesus, it clearly shows us some things that are important about worship. Number one, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, when we say in spirit, we're not talking about an attitude, although it does shape and focus your attitude, but it's your human spirit by the help at times in assistance of the Holy Spirit, by your newborn, recreated human spirit. That means God's more interested in your heart than your head. Amen. Now, he cares about your head, but he's more interested in your heart, because that's the real you. You are a spirit made in the image and likeness of God, made a shade lower than God. You are a human spirit being. Amen. Hallelujah. You're a spirit being. That means what your heart does is important to God. Your spirit man. And spirit and in truth. Now, what is truth? Truth is, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That means you do it out of your spirit through and based upon the word of truth, the word of God. So there's a Old Testament order, but there's a New Testament priority. Now, some of the things translated through both testaments or both covenants, but under the New Testament, under the New Covenant, we have certain priorities and patterns that we have to embrace and engage in. Okay? So number two, our Heavenly Father is seeking true worshipers to worship him. Now, if there's true worshipers, there has to be false worshipers. Because it's like a test question in school. Is the answer true or false? Hallelujah. Or we can say fake. True means genuine, authentic, real, sincere. Amen. Praise God. Number three, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then number four, God hears anyone who worships him and does his will. Who worships him and does his will. See, worship, we said, moves God. It does not manipulate God. Now, you see people manipulating other people. Even, you know, in relationships, well, baby, you know, sweetheart, darling, and they try to flatter you. You can't flatter God. You have to worship him. I'll tell you this, just as a side note, flattery is borderline demonic. It's carnal, it's fleshly. Amen. We're supposed to encourage one another, not flatter one another. Amen. We're supposed to esteem each other in love and through love, not flatter one another through liking or wanting something or lusting after something. Well, let me get back on the lesson. Amen. See, our Father God wants to bless us. All he wants you to do, you and me, is to worship him for who he is. So that's a key. You worship him for who he is. So who is God to you? Your worship is indicative of who God is to you and the health of your relationship with him. I'll say it again. Your worship lifestyle is indicative of who God is to you, who he means and what he means to you, and your relationship with him. If you're starving God of worship that's due and honor that's due to his name, then your relationship is probably a little strained. There's a lot of junk in distance between your relationship, you and God, because he wants you to worship him for who he is and praise him for what he has done. So when you get up in the morning and breathe your air, the air that he gave you, is his breath in your lungs? Yes. Come on now. When you're able to put gas in your car because of the money that he's provided you, even through your job or some way, somehow you got money, amen. If you're able to move your limbs and go to work and do the labor through your own hands, amen. Even able to pay your phone bill so that you can stay on your device and look at social media. He gave you that ability, that access. So you praise him for what he has done. You worship him for who he is. Worship and praise, as we said, are like twins. Amen. So here's a big concept and context of true wisdom. Look at 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are built up upon a spiritual house. So who are you? He's telling you also. Now you're not just this one thing. You are also a what? Living stone or lively stone. Now imagine a brick house. You're in a church house like a brick house. So every local assembly is like a house. Spiritually speaking, figuratively speaking, and you're one of the bricks. But you're not dead and dormant and hard. You're alive. And so when you come to church, you're to fit in and get in to building a house of worship for God. Because remember what we said. Praise is what? Seeking God. Worship is God being found by God. A lot of times if the house is not built halfway, God is not coming because he won't be honored. He won't be respected. Now, in the old days, in a Pentecostal charismatic movement, when the presence of God would show up and the power of God would show up, people would honor that presence. They wouldn't be irreverent. You know, there's a lot of irreverence today. That means people are distracted. People are deterred, looking at other things, doing other things, while the God is talking or God is moving in the church. There's a lack sometimes of holy reverence to God. And so he won't come where he's not respected. And I've been in services where God would show up and manifest, and people would get irreverent, start talking out loud, chewing gum, walking, just being kind of disrespectful, because you know, like when you walk into a courtroom, they say what? That porter calls, "All rise." What's that? That's an act of what? Honor. Why do they call the judge? Your honor. Everybody see that? Well, in the church context, God is your honor. You have to give him honor. You have to give him reverence. You have to give him respect. When you don't, then he feels you don't want to receive him. Amen? And he doesn't come. Because when they say, "All rise," for praise and worship or a time of corporate prayer or whatever, you know, it's not a time to sit. It's not a time to stare. It's not a time to get distracted. Amen? It's a time to what? Praise and honor and worship God, because Jesus is coming. Amen. Amen. God our Father is coming. He's showing up to church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one minister I highly respect, he always said this phrase, and I always kept it in my heart: no reverence, no glory. So the degree of reverence we display and demonstrate is the degree of glory. Glory is just one word of definition, is manifested presence of God. So the degree of our reverence will determine the degree of our glory or manifest presence of God in our personal lives or in our corporate life and experience as a church. When we're irreverent, we can put the brakes on. We can shut down God wanting to move in and manifest among us because we're distracted. We're thinking about what are we going to eat after this. But all of our focus and attention should be where? On the Lord. We're building a spiritual house for God to come in. Let's go to 2 Peter 2:5. You also, as a living stones, are built up a spiritual what? House. A holy priesthood. Why are we a holy priesthood? Priests offer gifts and sacrifices and prayers. what do we do today as his holy priesthood? So we are kingdom of priests. Someone said, well, a priest is, doesn't that belong to this church or this kind of church? What's this? No, you know, we throw the baby out with the bathwater a lot of times. But we are spiritually a priesthood. That means we have the ability and the authorization to offer up sacrifices and gifts and prayers to God through our Lord Jesus. Amen. So he said to offer spiritual sacrifices. So you have a priestly responsibility to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through who? Through Jesus Christ. This is a big part of who we are to be and become. So as you're growing in your praise walk and your worship life, then you are getting more attuned and accustomed to being a priest. You're a priest in your own house. Amen. You got to look on the internet and try to find a priest. You are one. As a child of God, a born-again believer, you are a priest. Amen. So you start praying. You should be praying at the house. You should be praising at the house. Amen. You should be offering spiritual sacrifices in your personal life. Now, one of the areas, I'm going to give you three areas tonight. Number one is body and soul. What do you offer God? Well, that's your body. It belongs to the Lord, but you offer it to him. You give it to him every day. Your body, you know, your five physical senses, your human flesh, your body belongs to the Lord. But you have to gift it to him. You're a priest. You have to gift it to him. In other words, give it to the Lord. Give your body to the Lord. And for what reason? You say, Lord, use me. I'm your vessel. Every hair follicle is yours. I'm yours to command. I surrender my body to you. I submit and subordinate my body to you. What's your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. In other words, you make a decision to only decide what he wants you to decide on. I don't call my own shots. I don't choose my own plans. Amen. We get in trouble a lot of times when we make our own decisions without his help or without his influence and input. Amen. Your mind, that means I think his thoughts. He says, set my affections on things above. Colossians 3, verse 1, set my affections. And verse 2, set your mind, keep them set on higher things. That means I've got to offer my mind and get it up to and reset it up to heaven. What's heaven thinking? What's heaven talking about? What's heaven wanting me to do and think about? My emotions. Now, it's a shame that sometimes people get discouraged and depressed, even as Christians. Now, I'm not saying it's you're going to hell for it or anything like that, but we should not find ourselves wallowing around in discouragement and depression. Amen. It just means we haven't offered our soul up to God. Hallelujah. Now, this Romans 12:2, because see, let me say this, I'll move on. Your thoughts and your mind either glorifies God or horrifies God. If you're sitting up in bed thinking about offering yourself suicide, if you're sitting up there thinking about something that's unholy, ungodly, or illegal, if you're meditating on the lies of the devil, we call it worry and anxiety. If you're meditating on the lies of the devil, you're not glorifying God with your soul. You're horrifying him. He said, why is my child thinking like that? Why is my child meditating on the devil's words and not my word? Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, listen, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead you to give your bodies to God. What are you supposed to do? Give my body to God, because all he has done for you, let him be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. Now, when you give your body to God, that means he can tell you what to do with the body. He can tell you to get up when you need to get up, or when he needs you to get up. That means you don't override his spirit telling you you need to get up in the next 30 minutes so you can pray. You don't override his spirit or his promptings and leadings in your life when he tells you, okay, you need to cut TV off for right at this time so you can meditate and think about the word, so you don't go to bed afraid. So you'll go to bed with all those thoughts running through your head. Get in peace. Amen. Because if you let your body dominate you, the devil will dominate you. Remember, you are a spirit, you possess a soul, you live in a body. But see, all sin is a usurpation. That's just a fancy word that means it gets out of order. It's a usurpation of the spirit by the soul and body. So you get out of order. Anybody ever been to a bathroom, public restroom, and they said it's out of what? Order. Let's keep going. This is the way to worship him. This is truly the way to worship him. Wait a minute. I thought worship was just the slow songs in church. No, worship is not limited to the slow songs in church. Worship is a lifestyle where you're giving God your body and giving God your soul. Is everybody here tonight? Are you here online with us tonight? Hallelujah. All right. Don't copy. Look at verse 2. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. So if you run around talking like the world, acting like the world, thinking like the world, then you've been copying. You're a copycat. You're a new creation in Christ. You're original. Don't die a copy. God has uniquely wired you. He's uniquely made you. Come on now. You're a chosen generation. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. You're his own royal priesthood. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. You're a child of God. Come on now. You're not a child of the world, a child of the devil. Your citizenship is in heaven. You don't copy stuff down on earth because you're living low. You're living at a lower level. And you get that lingo, you get the logos, and you get the language of the world all tattooed on you. It's tattooed on your speech. It's tattooed on your behavior. You're talking just like all that junk they talk through the TV sometimes. You say what the world says. The struggle is real. I can't. I don't know. I feel horrible. You just saying anything. You're copying the behaviors and customs of the world. But he said, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Hallelujah. If you're depressed, it's usually because there's depressing and discouraging thoughts. If you're worrying, it's because your mind and soul is divided between legitimate thoughts and destructive thoughts. Legitimate thoughts come from God and his word. Destructive thoughts come from the devil and his lies. Amen. Change the way you think. Now listen to this very carefully. Most people have to renew their mind as much or more so than they comb their hair. Now I know some people got more hair than I do. A lot of people. Probably all of you have more hair than I do. And you spend some time, a lot of times, washing and dealing with your hair. But don't just hygiene your hair. You got to hygiene your head. You got to make a checkup from the neck up. Just like you brush your teeth, you need to make sure you renew your mind every day. Amen? Amen. Somebody said, glory to God. Because, see, renewed means continuous. That means it's not going to stay renewed, just like your hair doesn't stay combed. You're going to have to constantly transform the way you think by renewing your mind. So just like you would have a pie or a piece of food or menu item, and it's stale. What's old? Well, sometimes our thoughts get old. Sometimes our thinking gets stinking. And see, what you think about, you bring about. What you think about, you bring about. Where the mind goes, the man or woman follows. So if you're following the pathway of deception, your pathway of depression and discouragement, the pathway of thinking about nobody loves me, you're a victim in life. You feel like you're crippled or disadvantaged because of what I'm experiencing or what my circumstances are telling me, then you're in the wrong lane. You need to get your mind renewed. Somebody said, glory to God. Let him change you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know God's will for you, and you will be it, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Somebody said, glory to God. Now, the New Life Version says it this way. Christian brothers, I ask you from my heart to give your bodies to God because of his loving kindness to us. That means he's not going to take it from you. You have to give it to him. Have you given him your body? That's an act of worship. That's just as spiritual as when you're crying your tears over a beautiful song that's touching your heart. A Christian song that's touching your heart. See, giving your body to God is just as much worship as that. He said, let your bodies be a living and holy gift given to God. Remember, you're a priest. So you're supposed to give gifts and sacrifices and prayers, offer prayers and praises. That's your responsibility. So you just give your body. Now, he didn't say you were your body. You are your spirit. So your spirit man has to offer up your body every day to God. Amen. He said, let your bodies be a living and holy gift given to God. He is pleased with this kind of gift. This is true worship that you should give him. Verse 2, do not act like the sinful people of the world. Let God change your life. First of all, let him give you a new mind. Someone said you have to lose your mind and get the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5 tells us that let this mind be in you, which is also, that means you have to allow it. You have to let it in. You have to let go of that old way of thinking. Amen. And he said, then you will know what God wants you to do, and the things you do will be good and pleasing and perfect. See, you won't know what God wants you to do until you get the mind of Christ. And when you get the mind of Christ, you hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. That's not selfishness. That's sacrifice. That's service. That's selflessness. Amen. See, presenting our body to God as a living sacrifice is primarily an essential act of spiritual worship. Our Father God wants our transfigured bodies, and he wants our transformed minds. Hallelujah. See, this is something you have to sacrifice, you have to surrender, and willingly choose to serve God with regularly as an act of worship. Now, God can't use you if you're always tired and torn in your thoughts and emotions and being terrorized in your thinking capacity. God wants to use you, but you're almost unfit when you're too tired to even listen and love on the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm speaking to folks right now by the Spirit of God that have struggles with sleeping and focusing. This is a key. This is a key for you. And you'll go through, and you'll have peace and prosperity too. You'll see progress come into your life. All true and true. Hallelujah. That's what the Spirit of God says. Because you got to learn to give your body to God. You can't just let run your body ragged. And see, some people have a what we call a sleep debt or sleep deficit. You're not getting enough sleep. Because your body's in charge. And when Satan gets in there, he likes to supercharge you. So you just wear out and you wear down and you're weak spiritually. That means you can't do what God wants you to do fully. You get easily fatigued. You get spiritually dehydrated. Hallelujah. That's for somebody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Number two is ministering to the Lord. Ministering to the Lord. Everybody say ministering to the Lord. Now, Acts 13, verse 1 through 3, it says this in the New Life Version. In the church of the city of Antioch, there were preachers and teachers. They were Barnabas, Simon, Niger, Lucius of the country of Cyrene, Manian of Herod's family, and Saul. That was Paul before. That was Saul and Paul. Paul changed his name. Saul changed his name to Paul later. While they were worshiping the Lord and eating no food, so they were fasting, so they could pray better. How many know you can pray better when you're not eating? How many know you can preach better when you're not trying to fall asleep when because you're full. Amen. He said they could pray better. The Holy Spirit said, let Barnabas and Saul be given to me for the work I have called them to. These preachers and teachers went without food during that time and prayed. And they laid their hands on Barnabas and Saul and sent them away. So what we see happening at the church of Antioch, God was sending and separating Barnabas and Saul to a different work than there in the local church. They were going through a spiritual, what we call transition, a ministerial transition. They were going to a spiritual promotion. They had been faithful in that church. Scholars say 13, some say 14 years, between 13 and 14 years. So that 13, 14 years of faithful service, and now they were going to step into their ultimate God-created purpose. They were going to be apostles. They were prophets and teachers in that church. Now they were going into the apostolic ministry, which was their ultimate priority calling. So we see another concept in context of worship here in the New Testament, a worship and fasting concept. So sometimes we think, well, we just pray and fast. But sometimes during your fast, you should worship. Why? Because fasting is utilized to discern and discover what God was stirring in their heart and doing different for them to do differently in their future. A fast and worship time to step into the transition and the shift of ministry. To step into the transition and shift of ministry. We see, secondly, they were worshiping and fasting for a consecration and dedication to what? The will of God and the work of God that the Holy Spirit was leading and the Lord was sending them to. Number three, transitions in ministry and new seasons require a fasting focus. You want to make sure it's clear because there's no pathway of God that is exempt from suffering and challenges. We said before, there's no such thing as an unchallenged faith. You get into a new job or you transition into a new job or a new career line, you need to be fasting and worshiping. Why? You want clarity of the steps to progress in that new season, into that new, to propel in that new place. We turn the year. We usually call it a new season. Everybody gets excited and hopeful about the new year. What do? We should be fasting some and worshiping. Why? To hear from God, to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Some people don't want to miss a meal. That's too bad. They miss out on the benefits of it. But see, transitions in ministry and new seasons require fasting focus and a worship focus. See, God uses transitions to bring about transformation in our lives. God uses transitions to bring about transformation in our lives. A lot of people don't like change, but see, God, if you walk with God and if you live life long enough, you know change is inevitable. Amen. Number four, we minister to the Lord until we hear from him. We recognize his voice. You have that, I know that I know that I know. That's God talking to me. That's my Father's voice. My Lord has clearly told me and showed me. Number two, we minister to the Lord worship the Lord until we have clear direct instructions, intentions, and insights from him. We want to worship him until it's clear. Clear, direct instruction. Sometimes we want God to do all the work, but he says, come worship me. I'll move in and I'll show you and reveal to you with full clarity what you're supposed to do. How you're supposed to do it and why you're supposed to do it. See, worship, we said before, helps us zoom out and retract from other voices. And how many of you know there's a lot of voices in this world? And, of course, the scripture tells us that in Corinthians. There's many voices and none of them without signification. In other words, there's a lot of people talking to you. Your family's talking to you. Your friends are talking to you. Amen. Your foes are talking to you. Now, foes could be somebody projecting noise, news, bad news, or a certain narrative or negativity into your life. That could come through your TV. That can come through your device. So your family, your friends, or foes all have voices. Well, sometimes that too many voices cause much confusion and potentially a conflict of interest in your heart and life. Amen. But see, worship helps us to zoom out from what's going on and retract from other voices and clearly recognize God's voice. God's voice is always aligns with Scripture. God's voice always aligns with his character. When you know that's God, that's just like God. That's his word. And God's voice always is positive and never condemning. Sometimes, unfortunately, we stumble upon people who talk doom and gloom, despair and agony on me. And we get filled with that negativity. Remember, New Testament prophecy is always what? It's forthtelling, 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 which means edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, foretelling for the Christian is always positive and progressive. In other words, it should encourage us, it should engage us, it should enlighten us of what's to come and to prepare for it. Now, if you're hearing negative and you're feeling condemned, condemnation is a tool of the devil. Condemnation is a disease of the spirit. In other words, Satan loves to take his hammer and beat you down and burden your heart. That's not God. Faith always, God's a God of faith, so faith always gives a good report. Now, there's no such thing as unchallenged faith, so your flesh might not like the challenge. But faith calls those things would be not as though God says, I promise you'll be delivered. I promise I'm going to be with you. Come on now. He's always promising positive stuff. Amen. That's why they're called exceeding great and precious promises. See, ministering to the Lord helps us maintain the right perspectives, the right priorities, and the proper spiritual and attitudinal posture towards God and the things of God. If our attitude needs adjustment, perhaps you should spend more time in worship. Number three, last one. These are three big concepts or contexts of New Testament worship. Spirit and word-filled worship and words. Spirit and word-filled worship and words. So we speak and worship under the influence and inspiration of the Spirit. The scripture gives us psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. Listen to this. Don't be drunk with wine. That means don't be under the influence of anything else but the Holy Spirit. You should not be under the influence of alcohol or drugs or other things that are illegal, immoral, or unethical. Don't be drunk with wine, but because that will ruin your life. We know that. Instead, be filled with the what? The Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. In other words, when you come into the public square, the public arena of your of the church, so to speak, or the corporate assembly of the body of believers, then you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we talked about it last times. You know, we should have a praise meter on people, but, you know, we should have a meter on your tank or your spiritual tank. Is your tank full? Well, really, it determines how thankful you are. Because when you're thankful, your tank is full. Because you can't help it. It's just overflowing. Being filled with the Spirit helps you be thankful. And to sing praise and speak under the inspiration and influence of the Holy Spirit. He said, speaking to yourselves or among yourselves, what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. So if you're quickly upset, quickly frustrated, quickly infuriated, maybe you need to get your tank full. Maybe you're a little bit empty. You got to tank up on the Spirit. You know, Acts 1:8 still applies today. And you shall receive ability, efficiency, and might. When? When the Holy Spirit's come over. Acts 2:4 still applies today. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit still is giving us utterance today. But so many times we come to the public assembly or come into the public square of our lives and in our spheres of influence, and we speak without utterance. That means we're speaking under the influence of our information or our own personal inspiration. Well, that means we say what we feel. We run off at the mouth just saying what we feel. We should be speaking spiritual words. We should be talking spiritual language. Because that's what's going to help and build up and bless people. Words matter, we said. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. And so if you're just a blabbermouth and say everything you feel, and if you have a bad day, you have bad words. If you have a good day, you might have some good, gracious words. But see, everything's dependent. But Jesus said there's no idle word. There's no inconsequential words. So you want to make sure that your words are Spirit-filled and under the Spirit's influence. So when you speak to your family members, you speak to your friends, you speak even to your foes, it's under the influence and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is Spirit-filled worship and words, because he said when you're speaking words of praise, words of power, words of purpose to each other. You're not just talking about, well, and you're talking about this and that and all the natural stuff. Nothing wrong with that, as long as you don't get too ingrained in that. But we ought to come in filled with the Spirit to where we're speaking to one another. in psalms and hymns, what the Spirit is saying to you and through you. Hallelujah. Speak and worship with rich, revealed word from God in your heart. See, we don't just come to church empty. Remember we said in the beginning of this teaching, we come to church with our heart filled with what? Praise and thanksgiving. But that should come, one of the reasons why that should come is because of the word of God that you've been feeding on throughout the week. And you're full of the word, the revealed word, the rhema word. That means that word is God talking to you and you're getting something out of it so good and so rich and so real, you come in with a word. Amen. To encourage others with the word. Amen. We got to get out of the concept of I got to come to church to get everything. No, we ought to come to church with something. To give. Amen. Not just empty, looking for something to get. Speak the worship, real word of God from your spirit, your heart, of and about Christ. That means, again, remember we said this before, and I'm getting ready to close, but if you're not enjoying Jesus, if you're not engaging in the journey that he has purposed you to walk in, then there's three reasons why. Because every single one of us here in person and every single one of us online watching this right now, we should be thrilled and enjoying Jesus. In other words, when you enjoy a friend or a spouse, you know, folks in a dating game, girlfriend, boyfriend, you have memories. You have moments. You remember the messages they even send you. You're reminiscing over the text they sent you because it's so powerful. Jesus should be that way in our lives. Amen. In other words, we enjoy Jesus so much that we can't help but talk about our moments with him. Our memories from the days before about him. The messages that we have received from him. He said, what do? They enrich, encourage, exhort, enlighten, and edify other people. Because you're talking about Jesus, you're talking about the way, the truth, and the life. You're talking about the light of the world. You're talking about the bread of heaven. You're talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on now. The hope of the world. You're talking about Jesus. Colossians 3:16-17. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Is he? Is the message filling your life? Or is the misery and the mess and the muddledness of life filling your life? He said, teach and counsel each other with the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God and thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, listen to this, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Are we doing and saying things that represent him? So we said words and worship that you speak and that you say to other people. Hallelujah. Everybody's getting quiet tonight. Hallelujah. Because sometimes we get so inundated with life and influenced by the circumstances of life, we just want to tell off on people. We just want to vent with people. We just want to vomit on people. A lot of vomiting has occurred on social media. A lot of venting has happened. Even with close friends and family people, they just want to vent. They just want to tell it like it is. But see, you're not supposed to live by your emotions. Amen. God gives you emotions. You need to use them properly, but you're not supposed to live by your emotions. You're supposed to live by your decisions to worship God, to praise and honor, to live by faith, to walk in love and honor. Somebody say glory to God. To be a man or woman of God by the word of God and by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Does everybody see this today? See, these New Testament worship concepts come with the scriptural suggestion that one, of having our newborn human spirits filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, filled with the word of Christ. Being word and spirit filled, basically. Now, he tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 some practical instructions here. He says in verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. In other words, that means you get equipped at church so that you can do the work of the ministry. So the work of the ministry begins with you getting equipped at church, and then you go out and do the work. Now, what if you're not working? You're probably not worshiping. And for the edifying of what? The building up of the body of Christ. Do we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine, and by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now, that's happened a lot, unfortunately. But he said, but speaking the truth in love. Everybody said, this is my ministry. This is my spot. This is my plan. He said, but speaking the truth in love. How are you going to do that without being filled with love himself? That's right. Without having the word of love, Jesus' love himself. But speaking the truth in love. See, when you're not speaking in love, when you're speaking in language or you're speaking out of lust, it's usually you haven't been enjoying Jesus. And you haven't been engaged fully with Jesus. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him and all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined, that's that building again, that's the body ministry, and knit together by which every joint supplies according to the effectual working by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. So when you don't come with words, and you don't come with spirit-filled words and a word from Christ, you're not doing your share because that's your spiritual supply. Everybody has a supply to make. Somebody said, well, I'm not serving that night. I'm not serving at that time. No, you have a supply. That's your service. Amen. That's your worship service. Some people show up to the worship service without their supplies. You have a spiritual supply. You have a natural supply. We have an infrastructural supply. We have other monetary or material supply we have to make. So like when Pastor comes, we have a supply to make, to offer it. But most people omit and don't commit to making a spiritual supply. But what does it do? When you make your spiritual supply, it helps the body grow. You're contributing growth and health to the body. Amen. Because you're speaking the truth. In other words, you come in with truth. You don't come in with error and with anger. Every which joint supplies according to effectual worship, every part does its share, causes what? Growth of the body for the edifying of itself. See, the ministry to the body is one of your primary ministries as a member of a church and a part of a church family. Are you ministering to the body? Now, some people say, what? I'm not a minister. I'm not a called pastor or preacher. No, this is the purpose. And it's called the law of purpose, and it's called the pattern of which every church. In other words, every member becomes a minister. Amen. You're not saved to sit. Amen. You're saved to serve. How do you serve people? By bringing your supply. Amen. The first supply you make is spiritual. That's why our worship service will go to a new level when everybody's bringing their supply. Instead of everybody being drug along and following along with whatever's coming behind the platform. and pulpit. Everybody say, I have a supply to make. So remember, we said it in broken down, simplistic terms. When you come through church, you have two things you should be asking and thinking about. Who do I help? And what do I learn? See, helping people is serving people. The best way you serve is to be a minister in the body. That I'm going to carry in some words that I've got. I'm not trying to get a word just only. Now, thank God we do come and get a word. But I got a word to give to encourage, to edify the body in love. Hallelujah. See, the ministry is about our words and deeds of worship go out to our Lord. Our words and deeds of worship go out to our Lord. Our spirit-filled words spoken in truth and motivated by love go to bless, build up, and benefit each other. God loves seeing his local church families gathered together in the worship service, being spirit-filled and word-filled. Filled up with the word and tanked up on the spirit. Then we can connect, communicate, and commune with each other. It's spiritual. It's not just social. It's Christ-honoring and not self-serving and sin-magnifying. It glorifies God and doesn't magnify the devil or man. You know, the lowest common denominator is what our flesh always goes to. I want to talk about my pain, my problems, and the pressure I'm under. Don't let your flesh dominate you. See, this concept should relay to us that we are to come to church with something and not just come to church to get something. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just worship God. Let's just thank him. Magnify him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, some might be here today or online that you need to get something. You need to get Jesus in your heart and get your life. Because you're not enjoying life and haven't enjoyed Jesus for a long time or any time. You need to receive Jesus. Now, with your head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. You know, we make an altar call because what? At the altar, your life is altered. It's an eternal moment you make with the creator of the universe, the God of glory, God our Father, and say, God, I'm coming to you. If you've been away from God, you come back to him. If you've never known God or known our Lord Jesus Christ, you come to him and receive him. And it's very simple. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, please. No one looking around. And I want you to say, Pastor, I need God. I need Jesus. Life has been a struggle, has been a strain. I've been stressed. I need the Lord. But the Lord has so many good things in store for you. He died for you. He took your sins to the cross on his back. He paid the price for your sins so that you can not have to die and cease to exist and go to hell and live forever in torment and pain. He died for you so that you can go and have life and live with him in heaven and live with the Lord in glory throughout eternity. So if you need to receive Jesus or if you need to come back, you just say this prayer with me. Just lift up a hand as a sign of surrender. If you're at home, you may be in the bathroom, bedroom, boardroom, or the kitchen, the living room. But I want you to lift your hand up and say, God, I'm coming home. I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. I surrender my life. I give my whole self to you. I repent of sin. I renounce Satan and all his works in my life. And I stand before you ready to accept and receive you and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I believe, Father, that Jesus Christ died for my sin. He was buried and he arose from the dead on the third day. And he is alive and he is Lord. And I take him as my Lord and my personal Savior right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me, for making me free, and saving me. I am saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. I'm yours, Lord, and you are mine. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, if you prayed that prayer, they got a number up on the screen to let you know how to connect with us and let us know how Jesus